Okay, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn your Bibles to the letter to the Colossians. It's in the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Colossians. We're taking a break from our normal series through 1 John, and because it is the Thanksgiving season, and especially because we're going to be celebrating communion today, I thought that I would bring you a Thanksgiving message. And what I want to talk about today is, you know, as you think about it, Thanksgiving is something that you and I as believers should mark our lives every day, being thankful. And I'm not just talking about when it's raining outside and you got a real close parking spot at Walmart so you don't have to run very far into the building. And sometimes we're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm not talking about that, although you should. I'm talking about an attitude of gratitude that marks your life because you recognize that every day has been given to you by God. Every day. Even in the midst of the difficult times. Really? We can be thankful? Yeah. You can be thankful in the midst of the difficult times because you're not alone. That's why he gives us that command through the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. It's not just good times. It's easy to give thanks in good times, right? But when your world is collapsing around you, how do you give thanks then? But it's God's will, the scripture says, to give him thanks. So I want to talk today. I was thinking about, okay, I'm going to bring a Thanksgiving message. Where do I go? How do I help us to know what to give thanks for? And so my mind went to Paul's prayers of thanksgiving. And that's what we're going to examine today. We're going to examine one of his prayers. There's several of his prayers through the scripture. This is a prayer where he gives thanks for the Colossians. He gives thanks for them for certain things that we can be thankful in our own lives, but we can also be thankful in the lives of others. Okay, so let's look at this together. We're just going to look at four verses. We're going to look at verses 3 through 6. So here's what he writes. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Now, here's what we're going to do, folks. I'm going to divide this into three sections. We're going to talk about you and I having a life of gratitude, about you and I having gratitude and thanksgiving, not just be a part of our lives on Thanksgiving Day, but every day, every time you talk to him. And the reason for that is the realization that I need you, God. Well, here's what he tells us. First of all, it's a way of life. Way of life, verse 3. Look at what he says. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, since we pray for you. All right, so Paul's daily routine, here it is. Paul's daily routine was marked by the giving of thanks. This is just what marked his life. So Paul's saying to the Colossians, every time I hear of you, so every time there's a report of you, I give thanks for you. I am giving thanks to who? God. Just when I hear your name. This marked his life. So it's not just a one-time event that we give thanks. It marked his life, and it needs to mark our lives, folks. Being thankful. You know, if you start doing that, even when you're in the midst of difficulties and struggles, you can still find something to be thankful for. You can still find something. Even if it's just simply this, God, you're with me through this. And I'm not alone. Well, I feel alone, George. No, but you're not alone. That's where your hope is. Your hope is that you're never alone. So it's a part of his life. Paul's daily routine was marked by the giving of thanks. All right, so the basis for his gratitude was the continual work of God in believers' lives. That's why he gave thanks. He gave thanks for them. All right, so stop. I think this is the secret, isn't it? Think about the number one reason why we don't give thanks. Think about the number one reason. Anybody got a clue? Why don't we give thanks? Anybody? How about if I tell you why? What's that? Go ahead, Gene. Unbelief, okay. We don't believe, okay. That's good. We don't expect God to do anything, or we're in the midst of it and things aren't going well, so how can I give thanks? I really don't want to give thanks. But if you notice, thanksgiving here with Paul isn't just about what's going on in his life, which, by the way, if you read his testimony, were things going good in Paul's life? Stoned, shipwrecked, left for dead, people chasing after him, trying to kill him. Things weren't going good. Being accused falsely by the false brethren all the time. But yet he could still be a thankful person. Why? Because he found the opportunity to give thanks, not just in his own life, which he did, but in the lives of others. And what God was doing in the life of others. So the basis of his gratitude was the continual work of God in believers' lives. God is working in believers' lives, and he sees that. So what did he give thanks for? Well, we're going to break it down into two areas. We're going to talk about testimony, and we're going to talk about hope. Testimony and hope. That's where we're going to spend the rest of our time today. That he gave thanks because of their testimony and then of their hope. Here's what I want you to see about their testimony. Look at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of all the love that you have for all the saints. Two things here. Paul was thankful for their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul was thankful for their faith. Now, this is the first thing that I think that every one of us can give thanks to God about. Is he saved you? All you need to do is think back. For me, it's going back to 1984, April of 1984. '84 is when I graduated. 85, I'm an engineering student in South Carolina and Columbia. And that April, I came to know Jesus. And he changed my life. Now, when he came to save me at that moment, I didn't get this in the moment, a vision that said, everything's going to be hunky-dory from here on out, George. It's going to be sweet roses and lots of blessings and everything. I didn't get that. I got, you are forgiven. I love you. You belong to me because you put your faith in me. Follow me. Now, that following him hasn't been easy. That following him sometimes resulted in sleepless nights. But I can tell you right now, I can look back to that day in April in 1985, the third Tuesday of the month, and I can look back and say that was the day my life changed. And he put me on a different direction. And if he hadn't have done that, I don't know where I would be right now. I don't know where my life would be. I can tell you right now, I sure wouldn't be in front of you right now. But I can give thanks to him because of the faith I have in him. Paul was thankful for their faith. He could look at them. This is a church that he helped bring about. He could look at them and say, I am so thankful God changed your lives. You know, one of the things I do as pastor is, you know, I interact with people here in our church, and sometimes maybe it's a phone call I get from somebody and they're telling me what God's doing in their life or something, or maybe it's I hear about something, but here's what happens. I sit back and I say, thank you, God, for doing that in their life. Thank you for opening up your word to them. Thank you for guiding them in this direction. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for being there for them. Thank you for bringing them comfort. Thank you for what I see happening in their lives. That was Paul's attitude. What? Gratitude, not just for himself, but for others around him. But let's just stop for a moment. Isn't that the problem? Isn't that the problem why we aren't thankful? It's because we're so self-absorbed. We think our life is what's just happening to us. Our life is more than just us. Our life is the people we interact with, that we become a part of. So it's our marriages, it's our families, our kids, our grandkids, are the people we work with, the people we go to church with. But you know what? We have this tendency just to focus on, oh, things aren't going the way I want them to go. And I know I go there sometimes. It's not a great place to go. And we miss what God is doing in our lives and around us. And so gratitude brings us back to reality. God, you are in control. God, you are working. And just like you're working in my brother's life or my sister's life, you're working in my life, even though right now I can't see it because I'm so consumed with whatever the issue is. Paul was thankful for their faith in Christ. Here's what else he was thankful for. He was thankful for their love for one another. Man, we can't get away from it, can we? We got Jesus' command, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. We've been studying that in 1 John, love one another. Here's Paul back in Colossians. John is the one who was speaking in 1 John and in the gospel. Here's John saying the very same thing. I'm thankful that you love each other. There's a testimony that you care for each other, that you love each other. You know what he's thankful for? Well, let's go back. We looked at it last week in the message, 1 John 3:23. Here's what he says. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So the first command is have faith, believe, right? The second command is what? Love each other. So notice here, their testimony that he's thankful for, they're doing what? They're carrying out the command to believe, have faith, and what? Love. Love each other. This is how we can be thankful. And just as you are thankful for what God is doing in the life of others, you can be thankful that he's doing that in your life. Here's the other thing now. It's the hope he gives us. The hope. Look with me. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. Here's what he says. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed the whole world. It is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Four things I'm going to tell you about the hope and how we can be thankful, okay? Here it is. Paul was thankful for their hope. Okay, let me ask you a question. Even when you're in the midst of difficulty and a crisis, and you don't know what's coming, where's your hope? I know where it should be. Where's your hope? Be thankful that you still have the hope. You know, I think back to it. Okay, so this is November 2024. In August, end of August 1999, so this is 25 years ago. I sometimes I go through periods where I journal my thoughts and my prayers, and I was in the end of my first church there in Canada, and I remember we were going through difficult times. I had no clue where things were going. It was difficult. We had a young family. We just had Maddie and Foss and Lori, and we're pastoring there, and we'd gone three different times without getting paid because the people were fighting among themselves. And could you say that's kind of difficult? Yeah, that's difficult. Okay. And we weren't getting paid a lot. And the only thing I could do, you say we could get another job, George. Well, no, I was on a visa that only allowed me to pastor. I couldn't just get another job. And so I got this journal in the bottom of my, in the bottom, one of my bottom drawers of my desk, and I can open it up, and I can see despair that I wrote, but I also see hope. In the midst of my words, I still had hope that somehow God was going to guide us, somehow God was going to bring us through, God was going to be there. Even in my journal entries a month before we resigned. You can have hope. Because your hope is in who? The Lord. And I remember a month later we resigned, and I remember the service we resigned. We went back, and talk about God wanting us to leave. The day I gave my resignation, we told the realtor to go ahead and put the house on the market that Sunday afternoon. That Sunday evening, somebody bought it for the price that we wanted. Do you think we were supposed to leave there? I mean, that was God, okay? So then on my last Sunday, I gave them a 4-week notice or something. On my last Sunday, we did the service and we went back to the house. We had already moved everything. I went back to change out of my suit, and I'm alone in what was our bedroom, and I just break down crying, which is, you've never seen that. That's not a good sight. And I'm like, I couldn't believe this. I thought my life, my ministry was over. But I still had hope. And for that next year, which was what I call the dark night of my soul, wondering, wrestling with God, and then God brought me here. And I've been here 20-some years now, 24, going to be 24 years. Do you think I can be thankful? Even through the midst of the dark times? I had a hope. Where was my hope? Is it in me? No. If I looked at me, I thought I was a failure. My hope was in who, folks? Jesus, the one who called me back in 1985 in salvation. Do you understand? He was thankful for their hope. Here he was. Their hope was focused on the fulfillment of their salvation in heaven. Look at what he says there, verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. This is where our hope is. Our hope isn't here. Can we quit trying to hold on to hope here, like somehow we're going to get it work? I'll be honest with you. I've watched people be born. I've watched people die. There is no hope here. Maybe we can make things a little bit better, but our ultimate hope for everything being made right isn't found here. Our ultimate hope for everything being made right is with one person only, Jesus Christ, when he comes back. That's where my hope is laid up. That's the hope of Christianity. It's not in man or groups of men or women. It's in who? Jesus. And even though things are terrible here, and right now I'm thinking about believers around the world, I think about an orphanage that we're trying to do something for that's in the midst of a war zone. And the believers who get up every day and who thank God simply that they can put rice in their bowl. Isn't that amazing? Because their hope is where? In God. In God. Their hope was focused on the fulfillment of their salvation. Here's what it says in verse 6. Their hope was due to their responding to the message of the gospel. Look, where do you think my hope would be if I thought that my acceptance with God was based purely upon me? Do you think I'd have any hope? No, because if I'm honest with myself, and if you're honest with yourself, you would recognize you don't do right. You sin. You fail him. Even without even knowing it, you fail him. And if it was based on me, there is no hope. But it isn't based on us, is it? It's based on him. My hope is in him. And how did I hear about him? It was through the gospel, which, by the way, he mentions here, which is universally communicated. This is the same message that, to be honest with you, I heard the message in South Carolina. It's the same message given where? In Pennsylvania, right? It's the same message that's given around the world, that you have to put your faith and trust in who? Jesus Christ, who paid it all for you on the cross. I can be thankful for my salvation, the hope. And finally, that message is producing fruit and increasing faith. Increasing their faith. Here's the thing. That hope and that message, that hope in that message, you can be thankful that what? He who has begun a good work will continue to do it in your life, right? Do you have setbacks? Yes. When will I get there, George? When you die. You're a work in progress. Do you realize that? You're a work in progress. And your hope is that the one who's doing the work is going to keep doing that work. So what do we do? Here we are, George. What do we do? Okay, let's talk about being thankful. Being thankful, having an attitude of gratitude, is not contingent on what's happening to me right now. Did you hear what I said? Being thankful, having an attitude of gratitude, is not contingent on what's happening right now. It never has been. Being thankful is based on your concept and perception of the God who saved you and whether or not he is continuing to work in your life and whether or not he is watching over you and holding on to you securely until you go to be with him, no matter what happens in your life. Did you understand what I'm saying? So you can be thankful even in the most difficult circumstances. And I know some of you are facing difficult circumstances. But you can be thankful because your God is God. Because Jesus died and gave you grace. That's something to be thankful for, right? Let me pray for you.